In 1996, NINS was published and the face of stroke care was altered forever. The harms and benefits of Alteplase have been discussed at length on MRAP and many other programs, but in 2014, the discussion shifted once again. This time it centered around endovascular therapy for stroke. Again, we've discussed many of these trials, but I'm here with Evie Marcolini, EM doc and neurointensivist, to discuss the latest publication in the field, the DAWN trial. But before we get there, let's go back a bit. Let's get in our DeLorean, let's floor it to 88 and go back to December 2014 when the Mr. Clean trial was published.
What did I tell you?
And out of that came a host of trials over the next 12 months. I want to talk a little bit about that, Evie, first, and then we'll get into the DAWN trial.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Great Scott!
The Mr. Clean trial, when that came out, they showed that endovascular therapy had improved outcome for patients with acute ischemic stroke, which was really big because back in 2013, if you remember, the New England Journal published three studies at the same time in the same publication that said endovascular therapy doesn't improve outcome. So that was a huge disappointment for the neurovascular community. And Mr. Clean came in to save the day, showing that we do have improved outcome. After that, Revascat, Escape, Swift Prime, Extend IA all closed their books early and showed that they were getting results showing improved outcome with endovascular therapy. So it was a huge moment for stroke neurology because now we've shifted gears from saying we use TPA for stroke to now we can use endovascular therapy for stroke. It was really a big deal. Part of the reason that they were able to show that is that they chose the right patients. They used CT perfusion imaging and MR perfusion imaging to figure out which were the best patients to use endovascular therapy on. What that meant was they were looking for patients who had a small core infarct and a larger penumbra. So they would have a mismatch ratio between the infarct and the penumbra, meaning if you had a large penumbra, that's tissue that can be salvaged. It can be recruited to healthy tissue. And those were the patients that they focused on. They also had a very short time to groin puncture. And in Mr. Clean, the study was supported by the government so that they had very good enrollment. So they tackled those three problems and showed us that endovascular therapy is the next big thing for acute ischemic stroke.
So five trials, all positive, but there were some limitations as well, right?
True. All of the studies except Mr. Clean stopped early, which likely overestimated their benefit. And the other thing is they used a very narrow group of patients for candidates. It's not a big problem, but it's important as we go forward.
Both of those things you said are really important. So the benefits overestimated, it doesn't mean it's not there, but it's probably a little overestimated because of the stopping early. And then that second part about picking your candidates extremely carefully for who should be included here. It was a very specific group. And if you look at some of these studies, you're talking about in the center, they were enrolling one or maybe two patients a month. Now, Evie, I get lots of stroke patients in my place, and this is often considered neurovascular intervention, but that's not what these studies showed. They were like, you know, out of all of the patients we're seeing for stroke, only one or two of them a month are actually eligible for this. So really being very surgical in picking the right candidate was very important. The publication of NINS had a huge impact on stroke care in the U.S. We saw stroke centers pop up, regionalized care, EMS bypassing hospitals to go to stroke centers. What was the impact of these endovascular studies on overall care of strokes?
Now that we can do endovascular therapy and show that it works, every hospital that can wants to be a comprehensive stroke center because then they're going to catch all those patients. And I don't need to tell you what it means if all of these serious stroke patients who would benefit from endovascular therapy go to one center.
Right. So this has a huge impact on how we triage patients, not how we triage them in the ED, but how EMS is triaging them, where they're taking them, and where the care of patients is being shunted. So now you have these centers that are able to provide this care that are going to be drawing in more of these patients. But there's also an issue on the other end of how many of these procedures get done. Remember, those studies were very specific, very small group that it was tackling. but it's hard to justify having a neurointerventional team if you're only using this intervention once or twice a month. So we can start to see indication creep. And that brings us to where we are today and the recent publication of the DAWN trial. This was by Noguera et al., thrombectomy 6 to 24 hours after stroke with a mismatch between deficit and infarct in the New England Journal of Medicine 2017. This study used either diffusion-weighted imaging or CT perfusion to assess patients who had delayed presentations to determine who should be eligible for an intervention.
Yeah, this was the next big thing, is looking at patients who had wake-up strokes, is what we would call them. So when the guidelines were changed for the endovascular therapy, it said that we should consider endovascular therapy for these patients with anterior LVO, or large vessel obstruction, within 6 hours of their last seen normal. And that's fine. But it begged the question of, now that we can look at the tissue and we can see which tissue has a penumbra that's big, can we get farther? Can we go longer? And what these guys did is looked at 6 to 24 hours of last seen normal. They stopped the trial early because they found that there was benefit in the treatment arm over the control arm. Now, these folks looked at ICA and MCA stroke only. The patients had to have a mismatch that was predefined as to volume. What they showed us was that there was a benefit in those folks. On the average, folks were enrolled in the study around 13 hours from last seen normal. So they did push that time window, and shifting it to not looking so much at time, but looking at tissue. There's a couple of limitations with this study, and probably the biggest one is that it was industry funded. It only used the Trevo device, and many of the folks who are authors on the study are on the payroll.
Another big difference in this trial is that the authors used the utility-weighted modified Rankin scale instead of the more traditional modified Rankin scale. The short of the long on this is that the utility-weighted score gives more value or weight to good outcomes than bad ones, but still uses the traditional modified Rankin scale in assessing patient outcomes. This may skew the results towards the intervention, and it also makes it difficult to compare results from this study to prior ones. The bottom line from this was that the DAWN group found that using the retrieval methods, using these endovascular methods, even in patients up to 24 hours out, they had better outcomes. So patients had better outcomes if they had that small core infarct with the large penumbra around it. And, you know, you talked about this being applicable to the wake-up stroke, but it really also has to do with patients just who had their stroke symptoms 12, 16 hours ago, but weren't able to make it to the hospital. And this is a paradigm shift, Evie. We're shifting the paradigm from this time equals brain model to, you know, it's not that simple. The brain is not that simple. Even though the stroke symptoms may have been going on for a long time, the patient still might have a lot of salvageable tissue. So this is a huge shift in the paradigm that we're looking at compared to where we were 20 years ago.
We're shifting from time is the only thing when we look at stroke patients to tissue is the most important thing, and we have to fit within a time parameter. Still, with these studies, the earlier we get to these patients, the better they do. But we've got a big opportunity to take care of some patients that are outside the classic window if we're able to evaluate the tissue.
And before we get too excited about this, Evie, I think we should also point out the fact that these were in large vessel strokes. So I know we've said that a couple of times, but I think it bears repeating. Large vessel strokes are the ones that we're going after with endovascular interventions. And I imagine this also goes both ways. You can have a patient who's had symptoms for 18 hours and has a small infarct but a large penumbra who is eligible for one of these treatments. But you can also have a patient who comes in with symptoms for an hour and they've got a large infarct and a small penumbra, in which case you look at that patient and say, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be doing endovascular therapy. Maybe we should even be thinking that Alteplase isn't the right thing to do. Even though the time window is appropriate, the patient's got a large infarct. Based on that, does that mean that we should be doing diffusion-weighted imaging and CT angios in every patient who comes in with strokes before we even consider treatment?
To think about doing DWI or CT perfusion on every stroke case is a ridiculous thought. We need to be smart with what we're doing. Take a look at the patient. Take a look at what their function is. What would they want? What do they want? And does it make sense to do these advanced level imaging? As far as giving Alteplase, we still need to think smart about that. Giving patients Alteplase systemically later on in their course is more risky. We know that giving it earlier decreases the risk of bleed. So I would not do a DWI or CT perfusion on every case. And I completely agree with you. We have to be careful of indication creep. We have to be careful that we're not trying to apply these data to patients with posterior strokes or strokes that are not large vessel occlusions in the anterior.
Evie, based on your exam, if you have a patient who comes in who you suspect a large vessel stroke and you're going over for your non-con head CT to start with, would you be getting that patient over to MRI or getting that CT perfusion study a little faster, knowing that if they really do have that large vessel stroke, I need to get my neurovascular team activated and on the scene so that they can possibly do one of these interventions?
Yes. When that patient comes in, if they've got clinical signs of a large vessel occlusion anterior stroke, I already have my team activated and we may just do a CTA, a CT and then a CTA and off they go to angio. Doing the CT perfusion or the DWI is in cases where we're not really sure if there's a large penumbra with a small infarct.
These imaging modalities need to be tailored to the patient in front of you, determine based on their examination what you think is going on, what vessel you think is involved. And now actually our neurology classes are going to be a lot more applicable because we need to know distributions when we're thinking about, are these patients eligible for this further care? In my center and your center, it's a little bit less of a problem. We've got a neuro team, we've got neurointerventional. If you're working at a smaller hospital, though, you really have to be careful about figuring out which of these patients could be eligible and which ones should possibly be transferred to a larger center where those other procedures can be done. And I'm guessing this also brings up a lot more issues. We talked a little bit about how Alteplase and even the neurointerventional stuff already has changed how we triage patients, how we send them to one facility or another, how EMS makes their decisions. I'm going to assume again that this Dawn trial is going to change that even more. But what about the use of Alteplase? Does this change how we apply Alteplase when we're thinking maybe this person has a large vessel occlusion?
Exactly. This brings up a lot of questions that still are yet to be answered, but are starting to be investigated. First of all, where should EMS bring these patients? If they're closer to a smaller hospital that does not have endovascular capability, should they stop there and get TPA, or should they divert and go right to the comprehensive stroke center? That's a question right now, especially in rural areas. How can EMS differentiate between a large vessel occlusion and all other strokes that they're taking on? And there are stroke scales being developed and studied right now to help EMS in that process. So the second question is, should we still be giving systemic Alteplase? If you look at cardiology, they don't give systemic Alteplase if they're close enough to a center where they can get PC. But if they're greater than 90 minutes out, per se, they would give Alteplase and then carry on to PC. So is that where stroke is going to go? There are studies that are looking at that question right now. Is it better to give endovascular therapy with TPA, or is it better to just head right to a comprehensive stroke center?
And these questions are going to be answered over the upcoming years. They're hard questions to answer, again, because this is a small group of all of our stroke patients. This is not every stroke patient. It's just the ones with a large vessel occlusion. I think that the Dawn study may well signal a new age in stroke care, one that we've been talking about for a while with better imaging modalities, with better interventions. Maybe we can figure out which patients are going to be eligible for these interventions, which ones have that large penumbra, the small infarct, who have salvageable tissue that we should be going after. Imaging is going to start guiding management more and more, which raises a lot of questions and doesn't give us a lot of answers yet. And I'm sure that we're going to get a lot of questions about this particular segment. We're going to get a lot of questions about what people should be doing who work in smaller centers who are transferring. And we want all those questions. Send all of those over. We will bombard Evie with them. And Evie, thanks so much for bringing up this topic and coming on the program.
Thank you.